Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Second hour of Catholic Answers Live, and I am all fired up. Carlo Broussard, as promised, has made his way into the studio. He's the pride of Crowley, Louisiana. That's my new title for you. Apologist here at Catholic Answers, author, internet personality, speaker extraordinaire. Carlo, how are you?
I'm doing well. Sighing yourself.
I am doing very well, and I'm looking forward to this hour, not just because you're here. I generally look forward to you being here, but because I really want to know about this. We're going to the topic for the hour, a rational approach to God's existence.
Yeah.
I imagine that atheists might call with their with their questions or challenges about God's existence. But anybody who might want, I don't know, how do we reason to that?
That's
Carlo?
Right.
And in fact, we can reason to
Amen
it.
Amen to that. Yeah. Often, you know, our colleague and friend, Trent Horn, normally does why are you an atheist where only atheists or agnostics can call in. But this show, we want to talk about God's existence, but extend the invitation to all inquirers about God's existence, whether they are atheist, agnostic, or a believing Christian who's dialoguing with an atheist, whatever, what have you.
And was this topic fired in you by any particular piece of reading you've done recently? Why are you laughing?
Yes, it is. It is. First of all, natural theology is one of my favorite topics.
Yeah.
I love studying about it and reading about it. But I must give a plug for a wonderful book that was recently published by Ignatius Press by Dr. Edward Faeser, and his book, Five Proofs of the Existence of God, which is probably, in my humble opinion, it is literally the Bible of natural theology. I mean, Dr. Faeser has done us a wonderful service in just presenting and putting forth the rigorous arguments for God's existence and responding to the various objections, not only to the arguments for God's existence, but also objections to the various divine attributes of God. And it's just a phenomenal book. I read it literally. I devoured it in a day and a half. It was that good. It was phenomenal. So I'm very grateful to Dr. Faeser for writing the book because, you know, if those out there who have followed Dr. Faeser's blog, he's written bits and pieces here and there on his blog concerning what we call classical theism, the classical approach to God's existence. But finally, he put it in a condensed format in a single volume, and it's very systematic. It's just phenomenal. So I recommend it, and that's definitely what's inspired me to want to do the show, to talk about some of the proofs, perhaps, that he puts forward in the book. I know he's going to be talking to you, I think, next month, if I'm not mistaken, like September 8th or something like that.
If I don't see him coming.
Yeah. And I'm sure he'll be talking about his new book. So I don't want to – I hate to steal his thunder, but
no,
it's just
but you were,
such a great book.
Right. You have an
everybody at the everybody at the office here knows that I've been reading this book.
Right. Right. It's infectious. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Carlo Broussard, our guest. And we're talking about the rational or a rational approach to God's existence. The fact that there is a rational approach to God's existence. So straighten something out for me, Carlo. The difference between theology and philosophy on this point. So Ed
Good
Faeser
point.
is a philosopher.
Sure.
He's not a theologian. And I think a lot of people think all of this is just, theology, it's airy, you know. That's what they think. It's like they take theology to be like poetry or poetic language or something.
Okay.
And the philosophy, however, is a very secular undertaking, I guess.
Philosophy is the discipline where the tool that we're using is simply the natural light of human reason apart from divine revelation.
Right.
Now, granted, in the philosophical enterprise as a Catholic, we allow the divine light of divine revelation to help us in our philosophical enterprise, but there are times when we restrict ourselves purely to the natural light of human reason apart from the divine from divine revelation. And that's what we're doing in philosophy and in particular in natural theology, the natural way of approaching God, his existence, that he is, and the various divine attributes that we can come to know about him. Whereas theology, divinely revealed theology, is looking at God in light of divine revelation through Jesus Christ and what he taught us. So, for example, if we're talking about three persons and one God, the fact that God is a Trinity, three persons, one divine nature, that's divinely revealed theology, supernatural theology. But when we're talking about the existence of God and the divine attributes of God that we can know by the natural light of human reason, we're talking about natural theology. That is to say, these are things about God that we can know by the natural light of human reason, and we come to know these things through nature by looking at nature and the various features of the universe, and then reasoning from those features to the conclusion that this reality that we would say is uncaused cause, the unactualized actualizer, right? As Fazer puts in the Aristotelian proof, the absolutely necessary being, the absolutely simple being, etc. So that's natural theology. And that's a rational approach, as opposed to, in the First Vatican Council in the 19th century, infallibly, that's the word I was looking for, sorry for the pause there, infallibly defined that we can come to know that God exists in certain attributes by the natural light of human reason, that we can come to know that God exists with certainty. And that was in opposition to, in refutation of, the common view known as fideism, which is faith. We can only come to know that God exists and what he is through divine revelation alone. Does divine revelation reveal to us that God exists in these certain attributes? Yes. But the position that says I can only know these things by divine revelation or by faith, right, is called fideism. That's an irrational approach to God's existence,
right,
contrary to what we're talking about here, a rational approach. So we want to be sure that as Catholics, we understand that yes, divine revelation reveals to us certain natural truths about God, but we can come, it's possible to come to know those truths about God by the natural light of human reason, at least those natural truths, barring the Trinity and what Jesus reveals to us about God. That's above and beyond reason, right? And that's, it's important to remember, we call these the preambles of faith, because you see, divine revelation, you know, we constantly say grace builds on nature, right? Divine revelation builds on what we already know. And now, although it's possible to come to know these natural truths about God, his existence, his divine attributes, it doesn't mean everybody's going to be able to come to know those natural truths. And this is why, as St. Thomas Aquinas points out in the Summa Theologica, that God reveals even these natural truths. You see?
I see.
Because these natural truths that we can come to know about God, it can be mixed up with error.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a long time and a lot of leisure time to go through these proofs for God's existence, and not everybody can do that, right? So in order that we can know without the admixture of error, and in order for those who don't have the time nor the intellectual capabilities, perhaps, to go through the rigorous proofs for God's existence, God reveals his existence and his attributes that we could possibly know by the natural light of human reason, but he reveals these things through his son Jesus in order to help us out, so to speak. So this brings up another point, Si, when we're talking about a rational approach, because we can talk about philosophical argumentation for God's existence, whether that's probable arguments or metaphysical demonstrations, and we can talk about that distinction too throughout the show. But also, this brings up the point of one rational approach to God is based on testimony, namely the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, for example, somebody who doesn't have the intellectual acumen to go through the philosophical demonstrations or the time, right?
Right.
Or is just not capable of doing that, it is rational to believe and acknowledge that God exists based on the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because now, granted, that presupposes that these documents are historical, he existed, and we can trust what he says. But given that, if that is the case, which it is, then I can trust what Jesus says about God existing, right?
Yeah.
And his divine attributes. So everything that Jesus said about God, I can acknowledge as true based upon the testimony of Jesus because he rose from the dead, which vindicates all of his teachings about theology, about God. So we don't want to throw out divine revelation of God's existence. That's a crucial part within this whole project. But we also don't want to rule out the possibility and, in fact, the demonstrability to know God's existence. And that's something I hope to talk about with our callers today.
And there are people who have actually made that journey.
Dr. Edward Fazer himself, he's written about his conversion story from atheism to theism. You know, in the past, as for many, not knowing the classical arguments for God's existence, then beginning thinking that they're totally bunk, right? And they don't do anything, such as Thomas's five ways, you might say.
Yeah.
And then once he got into the arguments and started reading them in depth, then he began to see, well, there's something here to these arguments. And the more he read about them, the more he became convinced. And eventually he came to acknowledge the existence of God. And many others. Kevin Vost, he's a popular Catholic author. He came from atheism, right? And Holly Ordway.
I think you've
interviewed her as well. Jennifer Fulweiler, right? She's a popular female author and radio host, et cetera. So there have been several who have made that journey, and that goes to show that the arguments for God's existence side do work for folks, you know, because sometimes you'll hear the argument, well, we shouldn't really be paying attention to that stuff because they don't really work anyway, right?
But they do.
But they do work.
Yeah.
First of all, my first response to that objection is, it's true, right? They're true. The arguments are valid and the conclusions are true. And because they're true, we need to share them first and foremost. And then secondly, it does have a practical value because some have been moved by them. Now, for me, I haven't come from an atheistic background. I was raised Catholic. But I tell you this, now that I've studied the proofs and come to know the rational justification for my belief in God's existence, I no longer have to believe based on testimony, namely the testimony of a priest or the testimony of Jesus himself. I can know that God exists because I've reasoned through the argument. So it not only serves the non-believer in bringing the non-believer to believe, but it also strengthens the believer, giving them a solid, rational foundation for that belief, or I should say acknowledgement, not just belief, but acknowledgement that God exists.
The pride of Crowley, Louisiana, here with us today, Carlo Broussard. Our topic is a rational approach to God's existence. Every single line has filled up while we're talking. So I want to take a quick break, and we'll come back and get to all those calls for Carlo Broussard right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
Catholic Answers Live is on EWTN Television.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Join me for a show dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization as we connect viewers to prominent leaders in the church today and touch on just about everything relating to the church. Doctrinal issues, family concerns, social issues, evangelization, ethics, you name it.
Catholic Answers Live TV, Friday night, 5:30 Eastern on EWTN Television.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Pope Francis said, "All of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deepening love, and a clear witness to the gospel." St. Paul Street Evangelization's online school of evangelization will equip you with the tools you need to be an effective evangelist. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you're unable to give, we'll set you up for free. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, our summer series concludes this evening, Wednesday, August 30th, if you're listening at another time. Live in the San Diego area, Jimmy Akin will be speaking this evening on How We Got the Bible. The talk's at St. Michael's Catholic Church in San Diego at 6:30 p.m. tonight. For more information on attending the talk, visit the Catholic Answers Facebook page. Carlo Broussard, our guest this hour, our topic, a rational approach to God's existence. Our first caller, Joe, in Pensacola, Florida, listening on 103.3 FM. Your question for Carlo, Joe.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. It was worth the wait. I called a while ago and spoke to Carlo actually about this very topic, and he was explaining to me the difference between the uncaused cause as per St. Thomas's five proofs and the Kelem argument. And I got that really well. And I don't know if you remember, but I also said I used the five proofs when I was a theist. I'm coming at it now, just to give you a heads up, I'm coming at it from an atheist point of view.
Okay.
I did, when I was a theist, use the five proofs, and I must admit, I forgot them when we were talking about it, and you recommended a book to me, the Beginner's Guide to the Five Proofs, something like that.
Yeah, Aquinas, A Beginner's Guide by Ed Faeser, yeah.
Yes, and I apologize, I haven't read it. Sure I'll get to it, but I did reacquaint myself with the five proofs.
Okay.
And I remember you told me your favorite one was the second one, the argument from efficient cause, because nothing can cause itself, everything must have a cause or something that creates an effect or another thing without a first cause. There would be no others, therefore the first cause is God. Now, in reading that, I remembered why I used that as an argument. I also remembered why I stepped away from it.
Okay.
Why I stepped away from it, Carlo, was that last part. His conclusion is, therefore, the first cause is God. Now, my question is, why is that the conclusion? Why can't the conclusion be something like, well, then, therefore, the first cause was the Big Bang, or the first cause was the universe, or the first cause was a blueberry muffin? You know, it could be, what is it?
Right.
Why does it have to be God?
Okay, very good question, Joe. And by the way, I do remember the call, so thank you for calling back, brother. One quick thing, just a clarification of the second way that you just put forward, and I do realize you're putting it forward from memory, etc. But in your statement of the second way, you mentioned in there a premise that everything has to have a cause, and that's actually not the case. Now, whether or not you want to talk about that and go further with it, but just know that the premise in Aquinas' argument, at least the second way, is not everything has a cause, but simply whatever is cause must have a cause outside of itself. And many, many people, unfortunately, make this mistake, and then they'll ultimately conclude with the question, well, who created God? Is God some sort of arbitrary exception to this principle of causality, which he's not, because the premise never involved everything has a cause, but simply whatever is cause. Now, whenever we work the argument out, Joe, we come to the conclusion of the uncaused cause in order to intelligibly explain the very existence of causal power itself and all of the intermediate causes in the series that we've created. So, and keep in mind that this series is not an accidental series or a temporal series where, you know, my father begat me and he was begotten by his father. The type of series that St. Thomas Aquinas has in mind is what he calls an essentially ordered series, an ordered series per se, where every single cause in the series right here and right now has causal power only in as much as the previous causes that it depends upon have causal power. And the only way, Joe, that we can explain the very existence of that causal power that every cause in the series has, precisely because every cause in the series has derived causal power from a previous cause simultaneously, right here and right now, the only way to explain how causal power got in the series to begin with is to posit an uncaused cause. Now, that's a sketch of that argument, but here's where I get to your question, Joe. Thomas Aquinas doesn't conclude that the uncaused cause is God. If you read carefully, yet, that is to say, if you read carefully, Joe, in the Summa Theologica, Thomas Aquinas says that the uncaused cause, or the unmoved mover, or even the absolutely necessary being in the third way, or the maximal being in the fourth way, or the supreme intelligence in the fifth way, he says is what we call God. Now, Thomas goes on for hundreds of pages after that to deduce from the uncaused cause, to unpack conceptually, philosophically, to unpack that idea and deduce from that the various divine attributes. And if you notice, Joe, it's only after Thomas Aquinas treats the attribute of unicity, which means this uncaused cause is absolutely unique. There can be only one uncaused cause. Then Aquinas says, this is God. Not, this is what we call God, as he did at the in the sketch of the five ways. It is only after he deduces certain attributes that he will say, this is God. So why can't the uncaused cause be the universe, the Big Bang, or a muffin? Precisely because those sorts of things, Joe, necessarily involve their derived existence. These things have potentials to become other things because they're material beings by themselves. Just the fact that they're material beings, they have potential to take on other forms. So if they have potential for other things, well, then that would necessarily presuppose that their existence itself is derived and thus not necessary, which requires a cause outside of itself. So those things, whatever is contingent, whatever has potentiality, whatever can be caused, cannot be the first cause. So this is why the uncaused cause, or at least a uncaused cause, could not be anything of the material realm. And there's various different lines of arguments for that. All material things are subject to change, and all change, whatever is changed, must be changed by something else. Thus, material things can't be an uncaused cause. Whatever is material, Joe, is constituted of parts, and whatever is constituted of parts or composed requires a composer. So any material thing that has parts can't be an uncaused cause. This is why these sorts of things can't be the first cause, namely the uncaused cause. Am I getting at it there, Joe?
Yes, you are. There's some areas there where I think we're diverging. I still believe that a cause that I think we're headed with this. I don't have time to get too much into it, but it sounds like we're getting into God of the gaps. It sounds like what's happening is we can't explain something. So, for example, where a an uncaused cause comes from, so we're assigning God to it. But before you go on there, I just want to let you know that I got my St. Thomas Aquinas' Five Proofs of Existence from the Catholic Faith Handbook Youth Teacher Guide, which was dated 2011 by St. Mary's Press. So you may want to check that, because what I had quoted to you is verbatim what they had in there, and you're telling me that it was incorrect.
If
you might not have been talking about the same thing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. And I would be open to acknowledging that it got it incorrect. Now, I don't have it in front of me, so I can't say definitively, Joe, but I would be open to the possibility, because it's a very common error among Catholics and non-Catholics, right? If it states in there everything needs a cause, then it would be false. Whether or not it states that, only you know that. But let me just, before I let you go, Joe, I would suggest to you that this argument from the second way of St. Thomas Aquinas is actually something far from the God of the gaps. Because here's the syllogism, Joe. If everything in reality was caused, that is to say there's no uncaused cause, right? If everything in reality was caused, well, then there would be an infinite series of caused causes. And I would qualify that ordered in an essential way. But there can't be metaphysically speaking, there can't be an infinite series of caused causes ordered in an essential way. Therefore, not all of reality consists of things that are caused. There must be an uncaused cause. Now, that's valid. The form of that argument, Joe, is valid, okay, because the conclusion follows from the premises. If A, then B, not B, therefore, if A, then B, not B, therefore, not A, okay? So the form is valid, and I would suggest to you that the premise one is pretty obvious, and the key premise is premise two. There cannot be an infinite series of causes ordered in an essential way. And the reason is because if no cause in the series has existence within itself to give to another, but is only derived, well, then if there's no first member to give the existence in the first place, well, then there can be no existence of any cause in the series to give to other causes. So hopefully that's helpful.
I think it was. Joe, thanks very much for those calls. Lots and lots of more calls, so we'll have to let you go, Joe. But call back anytime that Carlo is on, and we will get to more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Glad you're with us. Join us on air with your questions today on Catholic Answers Live.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Brassard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth, showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, he doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Brassard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn.
If you're a Catholic and you're watching cable news or network news, you're getting your news on the internet, how often do you read Catholic-based stories? Not that often. Here at News Nightly, you can get the national news with a Catholic perspective. And it is so valuable for Catholics to be able to see the world through that perspective.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carlo Brassard, our guest this hour, and we're talking about a rational approach to God's existence. Can we and do we? And, well, yes, we can, and yes, we do reason to God's existence. And, Carlo, John, that was pretty impressive, his call. Wasn't that John?
Joe.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, I just wanted to express my gratitude to Joe. Joe, if you're still listening, I'm extremely grateful for his a generous approach to the dialogue. Even being an atheist, he was able to enter into a dialogue with me with charity, with kindness, without allowing emotions to get in the way of reason. And I'm very appreciative of that, to where we could have a respectful dialogue about that. And hopefully, God willing, something I said would be helpful to him.
All right. I'm taking that personally. Am I too emotional when I talk to you? Is that what that is? Are you saying all that because you're trying to talk me down from my emotionalism? All right.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down, boy.
Lots of calls. We go now to Mary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on 1140 AM. Mary, your question for Carla Broussard.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I went to a Catholic high school. And one of my good friends from that Catholic high school, I just found out, had turned atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So he was grown up, or he was raised in a very Catholic family.
Right.
And went to 12 years of Catholic school, had heard and studied all the Catholic, everything about Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. And then we just went on a retreat together a few summers ago.
Okay.
So when I was talking to him, I brought that up, and I was like, didn't you feel something then? And he admitted that he felt a lot of human spirit, but he was not. And he agreed that I have had miracles in my life. And he agreed that that was miraculous, but he said that that was the doctor's work, and he would not admit.
So, Mary, are you? So he doesn't believe in God now, and
no,
right, and he dismisses the feeling side of religious experience. So you're looking for some kind of rational argument for your friend about why he should believe in God. Am I correct?
Yes, I'm just worried about him because.
Sure.
And I asked him if he felt like sad now, and he said that he was finally able to be free because he had so much guilt when he believed.
Right. Yeah. So, Mary, I commend you on wanting to do something to help your friend out. One, you know, we're talking about a rational approach to God's existence. One way that's not sort of the rational way of going about it is to appeal to feelings, whether good or bad. You know, like you asked your friend, well, don't you feel sad now thinking that no God exists? And he easily responded and said, no, I don't feel sad. In fact, I'm happy. And many atheists will make the same statement. So we want to shy away from appealing to any sort of feelings, whether they're good feelings or bad feelings, because that's not going to help the individual who's doubting. Now, you bring up an important insight about your friend. He didn't want to feel guilty anymore. So rather than it being an intellectual problem, it might be some sort of problem in the wheel. Like he just kind of wants to do his own thing without having to answer to some authority above him. But if you do want to share, you know, some sort of intellectual proofs or reasons to acknowledge God's existence, you could start with my colleague and friend's book, Answering Atheism. His name is Trent Horn, and you can get that at shop.catholic.com. He gives some arguments for God's existence and answers certain objections to God's existence. Now, the book that I referred to earlier in the show is a bit more on an academic level. It's a bit heavier lifting, you might say. And that book is Five Proofs of the Existence of God by Dr. Edward Feser, F-E-S-E-R. But his book, if this individual is serious about the question of God's existence, Mary, and sometimes you just got to let it go. I mean, you can present the information, and if they're not willing to seriously inquire about it, all you can do is pray for them, right? And just let your life witness to them. But if your friend is interested in considering the question of God's existence, I would recommend you get a hold to those two books and give those two books to your friend. Now, on a simpler level and a sort of a brief presentation of a particular argument for God's existence, in the March-April edition, March-April 2017 edition of our magazine, Mary, Catholic Answers Magazine, which you can get at shop.catholic.com, I think in like a PDF format or something, I have an article in there where I present metaphysical proof, that's to say a philosophical proof to demonstrate God's existence. And this is what I was talking about earlier, looking at how things come into existence. And if it does come into existence, it's going to need a cause outside of itself. It's going to need a cause to remain in existence. There can't be an infinite number of these causes in a series explaining why something exists right now. So you have to conclude that something, there has to be something that has existence in its nature to give. And we can conclude, after some more steps we go through the argument, that that reality is God. And so I would encourage you to get a hold to those resources. Mary, this is a lot. It's more than what I can give you right here on the radio. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves if you're willing to go through this. And do some studying, crack open a few books or a magazine here and there, and learn these ways of thinking to lead to God's existence that you could share with your friend in conversation. It's not an easy project. It does require some effort. It's so easy, you know, Cy, it's so easy to say God doesn't exist, but it's extremely difficult, and it takes some time to go through the arguments to say God doesn't exist. But you know what, Mary? Here's the thing. Father Andrew Younan, right? Is that his last name? Father Andrew Younan has a book. the title slipping my mind. Thoughtful theism. That's another resource, Mary. Thoughtful theism. And here's what he says, Mary. If somebody says, I don't believe God doesn't exist, well, then what's the proper response? Well, I believe he does. And there's nothing more that we have to do. Because the individual who denied God's existence didn't give a reason for his denial. So, too, we wouldn't need to give a reason for our affirmation that God exists. So, Mary, you could begin asking your friend, okay, you say God doesn't exist, but why don't you think God exists? And once he gives his reasons and you find out where he's itching, Mary, well, then you can start scratching, okay? And in order to find out, you can find out where he's itching. Now, if you don't know how to scratch the itch yet, well, that's where the books come in. That's where the magazine article that I was referring to comes in. That's where calling us here at Catholic Answers comes in. That's where looking on our website at Catholic.com comes in. And that's where you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and do a little work on that. How's that for you, Mary?
That sounds awesome. But is there anywhere that I can... where what you've been saying is written down.
You know what? May I suggest something?
Yes.
Mary, can you just send me an email at radio@catholic.com, and I'll send you all the information that Carlo just listed. radio@catholic.com. Will that work for you?
Yeah. But then also I kind of want what you answered to the last caller in print, because that was amazing what you're talking about.
I know. We should just type up what Carlo was just saying.
You know, Mary, be sure tomorrow, right around noontime, you can check on our website at Catholic.com under the radio tab and CA Live calendar, right? And you click on today's show, you'll be able to download the podcast. And you can listen to the podcast not only to hear my first answer to the first caller, but also to get the list of references as well.
That's a great idea. You can send that link to your friend as well. Your friend can just watch it. And now Nick's in there going, oh, I got to get that done by noon tomorrow. He was planning on sleeping in tomorrow morning, but now he's got to get it done by noon. 888-318-7884, our number here, 888-31-TRUTH. Carlo Broussard is our guest this hour. We're discussing a rational approach to God's existence. More calls on the line, but we do have a couple lines open if you'd like to maybe ask Carlo your particular question or share your difficulty with finding a rational approach to God's existence.
Amen.
All are welcome. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
It may be true for you, but not for me. How often have you heard this during a discussion with friends or family? Whether talking about faith, morality, politics, or just the basic notion of truth, so many people are captive to the notion of relativism, the belief that reality is something we decide. In his new audio presentation, Your Truth, My Truth, apologist Carlo Broussard breaks down this intellectual cancer, looking at the different kinds of relativism we regularly encounter and demonstrating how, ultimately, they collapse under the weight of their own incoherence. More importantly, Carlo makes a powerful case for the existence of objective truth showing you how to explain to others that right and wrong are both real and universal, because it was designed that way by God. Order your copy of Your Truth, My Truth by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 23:27, Jesus chastised the scribes and Pharisees who appeared righteous on the outside, but inside were filled with hypocrisy and evildoing. At the heart of such evil rests the lie that denies God's supreme authority over each of us, and therefore the ultimate evil. Every sin participates in this lie to some degree. Its seriousness becomes quite evident in the way our Blessed Lord reacted to it. When I was a novice, I happened to go into the chapel when the neighbor's 6-year-old daughter was showing a little boy the confessional. When she saw me, she said, "My brother says this is where you tell your lies." Out of the mouths of babes. She didn't know how true her words were. For young children, their childhood lies comprise the bulk of their sins. Life is more complicated for us adults, but it is only the truth that sets us free. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, I want to mention this one more time before we go, because the Knights of Columbus are helping out with Hurricane Harvey folks who have been victimized by that rain and storm and all the madness down there. And you can donate to the Knights of Columbus's effort just by going to kofc.org. As somebody wrote on Facebook, it's not kfc.org. That's Kentucky Fried Chicken. Don't give your money there, although I'm sure they're doing great work. KOFC.org if you want to support to help hurricane victims. The Knights of Columbus are doing just that. We now go back to the phones. Jake in Chicago, Illinois, watching or listening on Catholic.com. Jake, your question for Carlo Broussard.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hello, Carlo.
Hello, Jake. Thanks for giving us a call, buddy.
No problem. So I've been thinking a lot about the concept of God, and
okay. You
know, my interest is really understanding what people mean when they talk about God. And I've been listening to a lot of Bishop Robert Barron, and he talks a lot about how God is being itself, capital
That's
B.
Right. Yeah.
And it seems to me that this doesn't make sense to me, because when we experience the world, we talk about particular beings.
Right.
And being seems like a category rather than an objective thing itself.
Okay.
So just to abstract being, the concept, from particular beings, and then treat it as an objective thing that has causal power, same thing with causality. There is no generic, it doesn't seem like there is a generic cause. There are particular causes, particular beings that interact with other beings, but again, to abstract causality and say that it itself is a objective thing able to cause all particular causes seems like, you know, a mistake akin to, you know, reading a survey that says the average man has, you know, 2.3 cars and 1.4 children, and concluding that there must be a particular guy out there that has 2.3 children and 1.4 cars, or whatever I said.
Okay. All right.
So
I'm just wondering,
like, does this actually make sense? Does it actually make sense to talk about being or causality in this particular way, or is it a confusion of language?
All right. Well, you bring up a very important point here, Jake, which goes to the heart of natural theology and how we can even talk about God. Okay. So the first thought that comes to mind is that being, and according to the Aristotelian Thomistic tradition, Aristotle, St. Thomas Aquinas, being is what we call a transcendental, as is goodness, as is truth, as is unity, as is nobility. And that is to say, being isn't confined to a particular category of being, as according to St. Thomas Aquinas, like substantial being and the various nine categories of accidental being, right? Being transcends all of those categories. Now, when we talk about being, even in particular things, Jake, we use the term, and once again, calling to mind Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas, the doctrine of analogy. That is to say, we're not using being in a univocal way, in the same way. We're not using the term being in an equivocal way, that is to say, completely different. We're using it in an analogous way. So, for example, the cockroach on the floor has being. The stone outside has being. I have being. But because the stone has being in a particular distinct way than the cockroach and me as a human, right? You got inanimate being, you got animate being, and then for me, I'm an animate being, but I'm a rational animated being, right? As opposed to merely a sensorial type of animated being. So even with creatures, right? Just on that level, we're using the term being in an analogous way. The same would be true if we in referencing God. If God exists, if he is pure subsistent being itself, as Aquinas would say, ipsum esse subsistens, and I'm sure, Jake, you've heard that from Father Barron watching his videos, we would be acknowledging God as being, but we would have to remember that we're not ascribing being to him in exactly the same way as we ascribe being to ourselves as human beings or the animals or the vegetables and plants and or even the inanimate matter. It would be analogous. So there would be something similar. He's real. He's a really exists. There's a reality. It's true to affirm God exists, right? It's not just a construct of the mind or something. So there's a similarity, but there's also a difference. Because if God does exist, as Aquinas shows in his proofs, the uncaused cause, the unmoved mover, the absolutely necessary being, etc., well, then he would be being itself. That is to say, Jake, his being would not be limited in this type of mode of existing or in that type of mode of existing, but existence itself. And now keep in mind, Jake, we don't start with that. We only arrive at that understanding of God based upon the arguments. When we start the arguments, we're asking, is there some reality that's the cause of everything that is caused and explains and makes intelligible all things that exist? And the answer is yes, it's an uncaused cause. And once we work that out, Jake, we come to the conclusion that it must be ipsum esse subsistens, subsistent being itself. And what that means is that the reality that we reason to simply is subsistent existence, existence itself, not limited in this mode or in that mode, but pure being itself. And that's by way of metaphysical demonstration. So although we can't imagine it, Jake, we can conceive it. And it is true because the arguments are valid in form and the premises are true, therefore the conclusion is true. What do you think of that, Jake?
Well, I think I understand what you're saying. I would go on to say that analogies and logical arguments are only as, it seems to me that they're only as good as the ability to see whether the premises are true, whether we can, you know, test them. Like the formula of being a logical valid argument doesn't save like a completely nonsense argument if we don't understand what the terms mean. And God being being itself is transcendent, is other, capital O, like, that seems to be, like, completely beyond our ability to, I'm not sure what distinction you're making between imagine versus conceive, but it seems to me that either way, like, you're talking about something that goes completely beyond our ability to conceive or imagine it, like regardless of whether the arguments are logically valid or not.
Okay, let me respond real quick to that, Jake. What you just said, you mentioned how beyond imagination or conceivability. That would be begging the question, because here's the rub, Jake. If the arguments not only are logically valid, and you're correct in saying something can be logically valid and not true, and the conclusion not be true, if the premises aren't true. You're correct in saying that. But let's say, hypothetically, on supposition, that the arguments are logically valid and the premises are true, therefore the conclusion is true, and we reason to an uncaused cause, which necessarily, metaphysically speaking, must be pure existence itself, because if it was distinct from its own essence, if it was composed of parts, if it was caused, then it wouldn't be ipsum esse subsistens, it wouldn't be existence. So if we can reason to that, well, then we can conceive it, although we can't imagine it, because that goes beyond materiality. It goes beyond the imagination, because the imagination is restricted to matter. The imagination is restricted to sensory powers. But conceivability goes beyond the imagination. So if the arguments are not only valid but true, well, then we can conceive of ipsum esse subsistence, although not imagine it. So you have to be careful in how you talk about imagination and conceivability. Does that help?
Perhaps, but how do we know that the premises are true with
good question.
Being able to empirically check them, which we can't do because God is
okay.
said to be beyond
Got it.
Our
yeah.
experience.
So Jake, what you're bringing up here for our listeners' sake is called the verification principle, which states that something can be true or false only if it can be empirically verified. But that principle itself, Jake, is incoherent. It can't survive or pass its own test because the principle itself cannot be empirically verified or falsified. So, Jake, in the statement that you just made, you're operating from a false assumption, namely that something can be true or false only if I can empirically verify it or falsify it. But that's an incoherent position. There is another way by which you can verify something to be true or falsify something, right, and prove something to be false, and that is through philosophy. So I would acknowledge, Jake, that we do have to look at the premises of the arguments and see whether they're true or not. Amen to that. But if you're going to only be trying to look for empirical data to prove or prove it to be true or false, well, then that's incoherent. But if you're willing to look at philosophy and use the tool of philosophy, well, then we can start talking about the premises. So, for example, in the argument that I gave earlier, if everything in reality was caused, then there would be an infinite series of causes ordered in an essential way, which is a key qualification. Premise two, there can't be an infinite series of caused causes ordered in an essential way. Therefore, all of reality can't consist of only caused causes. Now, Jake, we would have to sit down, and this goes beyond the radio show, but we would have to go back and forth and say, okay, premise one, that's pretty obvious, but let's talk about premise two. Can there be an infinite series of caused causes ordered in an essential way? And my contention, Jake, after you go through the philosophical analysis, that premise can be reduced to first principles of knowledge. That is to say, if you deny premise two, then you're going to end up denying the first principles of human knowledge. This is the principle of non-contradiction, the principle of sufficient reason, the principle of identity, etc., which ultimately is incoherent because it undermines all rationality. Now, granted, I recognize I'm merely asserting right now. I haven't proved that. But I'm suggesting to you that's the method by which we would go about proving the truth of the premises in the argument. Does that make sense?
Well, I would disagree with your what you said about what principle I'm holding to. I'm not saying that absolutely everything has to be verified. I'm suggesting that statements about what exists have to be empirically verified. So my principle doesn't fall victim to the incoherence that you suggested.
Well, existence, but see, from the Aristotelian to mystic tradition, which we would have to spell out, existence, Jake, is convertible with truth, which is convertible with being. So when you say, I would need to empirically verify that something exists, that's the same thing as saying I would need to empirically verify that something is true, because truth is simply the conformity of what is to the intellect. So it necessarily involves existence or being. And I would suggest that the verification principle is ultimately incoherent because you can't empirically verify or falsify that principle itself, so it fails its own test. So we have to use the tool of philosophy to look at the truth of the premises in the argument.
Amen to that. Jake, thanks for that call. Thanks, everybody who called this hour. Carl is going to stay with us after we're off the air today. We'll spend another 15 minutes with those of you who are online. If you're on our Facebook page or our YouTube page or the Periscope, I don't know if you call it a page. Do you call it a Periscope page, Nick? We don't know. All right. We're going to be there. We'll be there here with you for just a little bit. Tomorrow, open forum, both hours on Catholic Answers Live. Open for any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church. We're happy to take it. Carla Broussard, thank you.
Thank you, Si. It was a joy.
We didn't wear you out. You can do a few more minutes on the air.
I'm ready to go some more, brother.
Okay.
It's rock and roll.
See you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.